NPR.
The clock is ticking for Social Security. I mean, the clock has been ticking for a while now. But this week, we got a new annual report from the Social Security trustees. Their updated numbers show that Congress has less than a decade to fix Social Security before the program runs short of cash and triggers an automatic cut in benefits for nearly 60 million Americans. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Weilin Wong. Today on the show, NPR's chief economics correspondent joins us to discuss how we got into this mess, how we could get out of it, and what's stopping lawmakers from defusing this ticking time bomb. That's after the break.
This message comes from Apple Card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase. That's 3% on products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply. This message comes from NPR sponsor E-Trade from Morgan Stanley. Take control of your financial future with E-Trade. No matter what kind of investor you are, their tools and resources can help you be ready for what's next. Now, when you open an account, you can get up to $1,000 with a qualifying deposit. Terms apply. Learn more at etrade.com/NPR. Investing involves risks. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC. E-Trade is a business of Morgan Stanley.
Social Security is the biggest program in the federal budget and pays out more than $1.2 trillion a year in retirement benefits. Social Security also runs a program for disabled folks, but today, with the help of our colleague Scott Horsley, we're going to focus just on the retirees. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you, Weilin.
So, Scott, every year, the Treasury Secretary and other officials who serve as trustees of the program have to report on Social Security's finances. I'm sure they love this part of the job. And this year's report actually showed a modest improvement.
Yeah, it did. Thanks to rising worker productivity and a drop in the number of disability claims, Social Security is actually on somewhat sounder financial footing now than it was a year ago. But that's kind of like saying the Titanic isn't quite as close to that iceberg as it was before.
And the iceberg in this case is demographics.
Yeah, that's right. And to understand why we have this demographic time bomb staring at us, you have to understand how Social Security works. If you've ever looked at your pay stub and wondered, hey, who's this FICA guy and why is he taking a chunk out of my money? That is the payroll tax. And most of the payroll tax goes for Social Security.
So most of the payroll tax goes to Social Security. The rest of it goes to Medicare.
That's right. And for most of us, 6.2 cents of every dollar we earn is collected in Social Security taxes. Your employer kicks in another 6.2 cents. So if you earn $1,000, Social Security gets $124.
And the government sends that money to retirees.
Yeah, it's a nice way to thank your parents and grandparents for everything they've done for you. And in return, you can expect future generations' payroll taxes to help cover the cost of your retirement.
And for a while, this worked great, but then that iceberg came along.
Yeah, and the iceberg in this case is baby boomers. They're a great big generation, 76 million strong. And over the next few years, a whole bunch of boomers are going to be retiring and collecting benefits.
And I mean, they're going to keep collecting those benefits for a long time.
That's right. Baby boomers are not just a big generation. They are generally in pretty good health. So they're likely to live a long time and collect retirement benefits for about 50% longer than someone who retired back in 1940, for example, when Social Security was just starting out.
And so the balance between workers paying into the system and retirees collecting benefits has become quite unbalanced. There used to be 5 working age people paying taxes for every retiree. Today, it's about 3, and it's going even lower.
And don't expect that ratio to turn around anytime soon. This week's trustees report noted that birth rates in the U.S. have been falling. Now, immigration can help somewhat because immigrants are generally younger and they help pay into the Social Security system. But again, the iceberg is still out there.
Now, the federal government is already paying out more in Social Security retirement benefits each year than it collects in Social Security taxes. Last year, that gap was about $173 billion.
And for the time being, the government is covering that gap by using money it socked away when all those baby boomers were still in the workforce paying taxes and when there were fewer retirees. But that stockpile of surplus cash is being whittled away. And this week, the trustees predicted it will be gone entirely in about 9 years. At that point, by law, Social Security cannot pay out any more than it collects in payroll taxes. And that means the average retiree's benefit check would automatically be cut by about 21%.
I feel like a lot of retirees would be like, over my not dead body, was that going to happen?
That's right. There would be a senior revolt. That's what Nancy Altman has been picturing. She's the president of an advocacy group called Social Security Works. I talked to Nancy this week after the trustees report came out, and she told me she cannot imagine lawmakers would allow 60 million Americans to suddenly have their monthly benefits slashed by 21%.
If they didn't act, not only would they all be voted out of office, they couldn't even remain in Washington. They'd be chased down the streets.
So it certainly does seem like an automatic benefit cut would be a political disaster and an economic disaster, too, for a lot of people. I mean, the average Social Security check now is about $1,900 a month. While many retirees do have other sources of income, about one in four depend on that Social Security check for 90% of their earnings.
All right, so Congress clearly needs to do something. It has to, like, steer the ship away from the iceberg.
Yeah, and the sooner we steer away, the better, because this is a case where waiting until the last minute, as Congress so often does, is really counterproductive. I spoke to Maya McGinnis, who heads the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, about this.
You know, we just had her on the show last week to talk about the federal deficit. Sounds like she gets all the fun topics.
Yeah. Maya knows her way about what is now a very irresponsible federal budget. She says it would have been better if lawmakers had addressed this Social Security challenge before the baby boomers started retiring. After all, the iceberg has been out there on the horizon. The lookout saw it. And Maya says we just keep steaming towards it.
Every year the trustees warn us we have to make changes, and the sooner we make them, the better and easier it will be. And every year we fail to make those changes.
It seems like the math here is fairly simple and irrefutable. It is the politics that is really hard.
That's right. Congress could patch this hole in the Social Security finances in a lot of different ways, but it basically boils down to raise taxes, cut benefits, or some combination of the two. Now, President Biden has ruled out any cut in benefits, and he has the backing of advocates like Nancy Altman.
The biggest problem with Social Security is the benefits are too low. Benefits are inadequate, especially given what's happened in the private sector.
By that, Nancy means the erosion of traditional pensions. You know, about 40% of workers have no workplace retirement plan, so that makes Social Security even more important. Now, Democrats want to fix the hole by raising taxes, especially on the wealthy. And there is a big target. Right now, income over $168,000 isn't subject to the Social Security tax. Now, only about 6% of all workers make that much money, but there's a big pool of income that the government could but hasn't yet tapped into.
Okay, and then what's the idea on the Republican side?
Well, Republicans, at least in the House, have proposed patching the hole in Social Security on the benefit side. They want to raise the retirement age for younger workers and also nibble away at the benefit formula. Donald Trump recognizes that would be politically risky, so Trump has promised not to cut benefits, although he also told CNBC there's a lot you could do to cut entitlement spending.
Okay, so Democrats want to raise taxes on high earners. House Republicans want to cut benefits. It seems like there is room, like, theoretically, for a split the difference kind of a compromise here.
And in fact, that's exactly what politicians did back in the 1980s, the last time Social Security was facing this kind of cash crunch. Back in the 80s, politicians raised taxes, and they also raised the retirement age for younger people, like I was back in those days. Right now, though, Maya McGinnis sees little sign of that kind of deal-making.
When you see the two major candidates running for president tripping over themselves to promise what they won't do to fix the problem, you have to worry, because those kinds of reforms really start at the top.
in a narrowly divided Congress, any fix is probably going to require both sides to give some ground. But unfortunately, today's politicians are out of practice at making those kinds of deals. So instead of a timely course correction, we just keep steaming towards the iceberg.
Oof. Well, Scott, thank you for joining us. We'll get our life preservers on. Scott Horsley is NPR's chief economics correspondent. Thank you again for coming on the show. Until next time.
Great to be with you.
This episode was produced by Corey Bridges with engineering by Neil Rauch. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez and edited by Kate Kincannon. The Indicator is a production of NPR.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Greenlight. Want to teach your kids financial literacy? With Greenlight, kids and teens use a debit card of their own, while parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and savings in the app. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Warby Parker. Their glasses start at $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Go to warbyparker.com/covered.